And now, your host, Jim Hayes.
Great to be back with you on The Simple Truth. We consecrate everything to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the pure, strong heart of Saint Joseph. Today is Testimony Tuesday, where we bring you real, live, firsthand testimonial accounts of the life-giving reality of Jesus and his Catholic Church. Gabe, thank you so much for being with us today to share some of your story. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It is such an honor to be with you, Jim. Thank you for inviting me. I'm truly privileged.
Yeah, it's a great blessing to have you with us. So we always begin at the beginning. We start with childhood. What was your early life like?
Yes.
Family, the culture that you grew up in?
Yeah, so I feel like my testimony especially is one that a lot of people, especially young people today, can relate to. I was born with a mother only, so my father wasn't a part of my life. My mom was awesome. She was a hardworking woman, but she was still just a single mom trying to make ends meet. And so with that struggle came, you know, lower income, not having my mom at home to like be home when I got home from school. So I was a latchkey child. I spent a lot of time watching cable television, MTV. I was formed by the world. My mom only took me to Mass on Christmas and Easter because she wasn't living her Catholic faith, but she did try to give me some sense of saints and prayers and stuff. So growing up, I struggled a lot with not having a father, especially because fatherless homes, they were bad then, they're worse now, but they weren't as prominent as they are today. Then growing into high school, the only Catholicism I was impacted was by my peers, and they weren't good Catholics. So a lot of them were going through their confirmation program, and I thought I was Catholic just because I went to Mass on Christmas and Easter. And I didn't see that I was really missing out on much simply because their lives did not reflect, you know, a life given over to God. So I was like, well, I'm not missing much because they're partying and drinking and doing things even worse than I am. And they're, you know, doing things at church. So I'm not missing much. The greatest religious influence on my life was a Muslim friend who would fast during Ramadan and do all sorts of like penances. And I was like, wow, this guy takes his religion pretty seriously. But no good religious upbringing. I was essentially raised by the world. And so my sins, which were many and multiplied, you know, with every year of getting more and more freedom, were just basically the sins of the world. So everything that the world promotes, a desire for money, a desire for sexuality and for freedom and licentiousness, was like my way of life up until I entered college. So I was blessed to be able, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, is a very relatable story, even for those who had fathers around to some degree, being raised by the way of the world. Let me just ask you real quick, just by way of clarification. So you would have been baptized as an infant. You would have gone to your parish for first Holy Communion, first penance. And then, so were you not confirmed
in
high school?
I made my first communion in middle school. And then I just stopped going back at that point. My grandmother had died. She was a very pious woman, not going to church as she should. It was very culturally Catholic because she was Hispanic. Made my first communion maybe in the seventh grade. Did not show back up again. Ever was not confirmed, although my peers were. But the major turning point for me was that I was trying to get into college, and because I was worldly and lazy, I was doing very well in school, but I just wanted to get into the first school possible and get it over with and to go to the school that offered me the most money. So amongst my peers, I joked that I was the worst of all the good kids and the best of all the bad kids. So I had good grades, even though I was living a very morally questionable lifestyle. So I got accepted into the University of St. Thomas with a scholarship, and that was awesome, particularly because I was blessed in a way not to have a religious foundation. So a lot of times you think, oh man, if only I had a good religious education. True, but I was blessed because I wasn't given a lukewarm Catholicism where I would have thought, oh, I'm a good Catholic, much like many of my friends were, and then not realizing all along I didn't know anything about the Catholic faith like they didn't. So in university, I was forced to take ethics classes. I was forced to take intro to theology classes. And that opened my eyes to the reality that this faith, this Catholic faith, actually makes sense. It answered a large question that I had because I was always struggling with, man, I'm bad. Like, and I don't want to be bad. I don't want to hurt my mom. I don't want to hurt my friends. I don't want to hurt my family members. But I keep hurting them out of selfishness, even though I resolve to try and, like, be nice and loving and charitable and virtuous. I have a problem. And the church was answering questions about the meaning of my life, the purpose of my life. And it answered the deepest question I had was, why am I so bad? Why am I so, you know, inclined to evil? So I was really convinced intellectually very soon about the truths of the Catholic faith, but it never penetrated my heart. And so a lot of my friends, again, I'm hanging out with the bad kids, even in the Catholic school, Catholic university, a lot of my friends were smoking, drinking, partying on the weekends. I didn't do so much of that only because I was poor, which was another blessing, but I would partake where I could, when I could. But they were getting into the RCIA program and getting the sacrament of confirmation. And so I thought to myself, wow, these guys who are living a sinful life can get confirmed. Why don't I also get confirmed? And the confirmation program at our university was excellent, excellent, excellent. And we were invited to go on a retreat. And at that retreat, I was able to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist for the first time. I had a professor who was very pious. He had actually given me a rosary shortly before. I had never owned a rosary before. And it was just fitting that when it was time for adoration, I went to him and said, hey, how do you do this adoration? And he's like, oh, we're going to go look at Jesus. Look at Jesus? Like a picture of Jesus? I didn't know about the real presence. And so he's like, no, you're just going to go in there. You're going to look at that little white circle and you're just going to repeat the holy name of Jesus. And I said, for how long? Well, we're going to be in there an hour. An hour? Are you kidding me? So I went into this adoration experience, and I was just kneeling there for about 5 minutes at first, just Jesus, 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 just kind of like just repeating the name without it making much sense. But the power of the holy name of Jesus, I realized, was a prayer in itself. Soon, the Holy Spirit began to stir in me. Soon, I felt like the voice of God was saying, yes. And all of a sudden, probably about 15 minutes in, 10 minutes in, the Holy Spirit, the finger of God, entered my soul, and I just started bawling and weeping. And I had a profound, it was kind of like God just gave me just like a split second of a glimpse of his real presence. It wasn't like a visual thing. It was just like his finger touched my soul, and my heart melted, which had been extraordinarily hard for a very, very long time. And so I just bawled for about 45 minutes straight. And I at that moment, I said, Jesus is really here. Like, this isn't just a philosophy. This is real. And this is extraordinary. I struggled still with sin, though. So after that religious experience, I would start to visit the chapel more often. But I was a public sinner. Everybody knew I was a sinner. I wasn't trying to change yet, but I was now a public sinner who was philosophically convinced of the Catholic faith and who believed that Jesus was really present in the Eucharist. So amidst my partying and carousing and doing what college students do, I would spend, you know, the rest of my time in the chapel, praying, doing my homework in the chapel. And then I had an extraordinary experience that I can only say was one of the greatest blessings of my life. For Lent, I decided, you know, maybe I'll try to stop sinning publicly, stop committing mortal sin on a regular basis. And so I made that resolution. And about 2 hours later, I committed another mortal sin. And I had the grace of true contrition. And I was truly sorry. So I went into my room and I was crying and begging Lord for mercy because I was offending him. And at that moment, I began to hear an exterior voice mocking me. So I was crying, saying, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Forgive me for all the times I've harmed you and hurt you and turned my back on you. And I began to hear a mocking voice, the worst, ugliest voice audibly that I'd ever heard, mocking me and mocking my tears. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, and all these kind of insults at me. And immediately, I don't know why, I called upon St. John Vianney. And I said, St. John Vianney, pray for me. I barely knew anything about St. John Vianney. I really think my guardian angel was like, call upon this guy. And then the next night, I was afraid to be in my room because of the previous night. And I got that rosary that my professor had previously given me. And I had obtained a pamphlet on how to pray the rosary. And so it was about 9 o'clock at night, and I was in my room and I was opening up the pamphlet. I was sitting on my bed and I looked up, how do you start to pray this? Okay, I believe in. And the moment that I said, I believe in, I didn't get to the words God, a very strong force grabbed me by the throat, slammed me on the bed, pinned me down, and was choking me. And I felt like I was being suffocated, but I could still breathe, and I couldn't get words out because I was trying to call my mom, but she could not answer me. But little did I know that there was another mother who was watching over me, and I guess we'll get back to that shortly after the break, yes?
Absolutely. Well, we are on holy ground here with Gabriel Castillo, and when we get back, he is going to keep going on this this tremendous story of how he knows the reality of Jesus and his Catholic Church, how his whole personal story has unfolded. You're experiencing a demonic force grabbing you. Just to share with the viewers, while there is a certain degree of this being quite extreme, right? These are not ordinary experiences that most people have, and yet there is an ordinary experience that we do have in this, which is the temptations of all against all of us that come from the attacks of the enemy while we're trying to pray, while we're trying to move forward towards God. He's going to do everything he can to try to thwart us, especially in those beginning times. He's going to want to interrupt all of that when we're trying to advance in faith. But this is an amazing story. Please go ahead, Gabe.
So I was trying to call out to my mom, and I couldn't get the words out. It was literally like I was just gasping. I felt like I was being choked, but for some reason I could still breathe. And there was a great heaviness on me that I couldn't get up. And I heard an interior voice say, pray the Hail Mary. And so I tried and I gasped to try to get the words of the Hail Mary out. And again, I couldn't say anything. And then the idea came into my mind, and I truly believe it was my guardian angel assisting me, to say the Hail Mary in my mind mentally. And so after I've said just in my mind mentally, Hail Mary, I did feel a little bit of relief and I was able to get the words out, Hail Mary. And the moment that I said the name of Mary, all of a sudden the force left. Immediately the room was back to the way it was. I was fine. I was fine physically, but I was not okay mentally and emotionally. I was a complete wreck. So the next day, I began to research all of this as much as possible. And at that time, there was a great website, I don't think it exists anymore, called the St. Padre Pio Center for Deliverance. And I was looking up everything possible about diabolical attacks. And I learned so much about living in mortal sin. When you're mortal sin, that means you're objectively, you've rejected God's protection, you've objected God's mercy, you've rejected his sonship, you've rejected that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're under the dominion of the devil. And then there's various hooks that we have in our lives that are entry points for Satan, whether that be rated R movies, whether that be pornography, whether that be artificial contraception, diabolical music. And so I had to get rid of all of those things. So this was actually, although it was a horrible experience, it was a great blessing because it made me realize I cannot continue to be living in mortal sin. I absolutely must change my life. And so I got rid of every single negative influence, anything that would be intrinsically disordered, I got rid of it. And I began to pray as if my soul depended on it. And because I'd start to go to confession and I'd just be back in the confessional a day or 2 days or 3 days later, I had to start taking steps to not live like that and not be like every day going back to confession or every other day going back to confession. And so I started to take up the rosary as a form of self-medication. I noticed when I prayed the rosary, my temptations would be lower. I would have more willpower. I'd have a greater sense of the presence of God. I couldn't always be in church. And so that began to be my medication, and Our Lady began to take hold of my life. An aside that I think is very important, that is a very big part of my spiritual life now, is I got big into Mother Angelica, and I started reading her book or her biography by Raymond Arroyo, A Nun and Her Network of Miracles and Her Nerve. And in there, there was a part that really stood out to me. I really felt the presence of God when I was hearing it, where Mother Angelica, who is a cloistered nun, already given her life completely over to the Lord, at this point in her biography that really touched me the most, was she was outside working in the farm or working on the yard in Alabama, and a charismatic priest would come up to her and continually ask her, "Can I pray over you? Can I pray over you? Can I pray over you? Do you receive the Holy Spirit?" And Mother Angelica would continue to reject him. And eventually one day she gave in just so that he would leave her alone. And she didn't feel anything in the moment, but there was a dramatic change in the way she read scripture. There was a dramatic change in the way she spoke. There was a dramatic change in her zeal for souls. And so that, because I was hungry and I was searching and I wanted the fullness of life, that really opened my eyes. Wow, the life of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that came to the apostles at Pentecost, is supposed to be a part of the normal Catholic experience. And so I know it's not a popular thing for many people. They don't like the charismatic dimension of our faith. But I began to search for the Holy Spirit, and I would go to the Catholic Charismatic Center, and I asked a man there to pray for me. And like Mother Angelica, I did not feel anything. I even had a sense that I don't need this. I don't need to be here. I have the Holy Spirit. But after that, I noticed a significant change in my fervor, in my wanting to save souls, wanting to reach out to souls. Maybe we can discuss that later, but that was, and I think that continues to be a defining moment in my life where I did not just have Jesus, I did not just have Mary, but I had a true dependence upon and a relationship with the Holy Spirit that I still thirst for and yearn for today.
I ask actually with that first encounter with the demonic and this,
yes,
the demon being so real that you couldn't,
yes,
you couldn't excuse that or kind of
any
other way about it. You knew that this was real now. You knew your soul was on the line. You were convicted that you had to lead a life, yes, of prayer and go to confession and live the sacramental life, live all these, yes, things that you know are true. But I was going to ask, was there also that conviction for the souls of others? So
yes,
what was there, did that kind of kick in at the same time, but then it was a sort of an increase at this moment where you were prayed over? And how long in between those two events was there?
I would say there's about 3 months in between in those events. And I was praying and doing all the things that, you know, traditional spirituality would teach us. But I still felt like there was something lacking. And that's where I started going to the Charismatic Center. And it's not like, I know that there's a big division in the church. There's those who strive for traditionalism. There's those who are more charismatic. And I began to see that it needs to be both. We need to lean heavily on tradition and our liturgy should be ordered, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit is real. And that hunger for souls only came, I know for a fact, only came after having somebody pray over me. And I don't even necessarily know that I needed anybody. I had the strong conviction after somebody prayed over me that I had the Holy Spirit all along. I just didn't yearn for it, and I wasn't willing to do the ridiculous. But I know that fervor for souls came after that, because immediately after that, I went home and I like preached to my mom and I told her that she needed to get her life in order and that she needed to start going to church with me. And then her life was radically changed. And then it was definitely a defining moment. And then that's where I began to get the call to reach out and help others. So I began to live kind of like a contemplative in a way. I would always be in the chapel. I'd stay out late partying. And then I began to stay out late in adoration. And in the silence of my soul, I felt like God was saying, because my plan in life was to be an engineer or to be a lawyer, something that made a lot of money. But the Lord, I felt, was saying to me, no, you have a spirituality that I want you to share with others. And at the time, I strongly believed that was through teaching. So I began to take, and I'd really done very poorly in all my theology classes prior to that, but I began to take theology courses because I was also failing my other courses because of my bad lifestyle and bad habits. But I began to take theology courses. I started getting all A's in everything theological and philosophical. I was getting all A's, and in my science and math courses that I wanted to take for a comfortable lifestyle, I was not doing so well. But I realized, I felt like God was saying, I want you to be a teacher. And I said, all right, Lord, I'll give you 3 years. 3 years of a life of poverty being a teacher. And so I began working at a very prominent Catholic school after university. And I began to teach them everything necessary to stay out of mortal sin, which was frequent confession. Because, you know, if we have an inclination towards evil because of our concupiscence, if we're not stopped, if we're not helped with the grace of God, we will fall into sin if we keep inclining in a certain direction. So I was teaching them frequent confession, frequent visits of the Blessed Sacrament, daily rosary, all these things. And I was met with tremendous resistance from places that I did not imagine that I would get it. I thought that the parents would be the ones who were like, whoa, stop. But I was getting resistance from clergy. I was getting resistance from administration. And I realized then, I was like, wow, through reading Mother Angelica's biography, I had a little bit of the history of the Catholic Church in the United States. But then I was seeing firsthand that the Catholic school system in the United States, by and large, maybe there are some exceptions, by and large, is not ready to live the authentic Catholic faith to actually save souls. That the Catholic school system, for the most part, in my experience, was simply a place where you send your kids so that they're not totally corrupted by the secular world, but not necessarily a place where we really actually expect them to become saints, because the kids wanted to go to confession frequently, and the priest did not want to hear confessions frequently. And there's a lot of other things. But very significantly, during that time in my own personal conversion, I went on a retreat with a priest who was claimed to have many mystical qualities, such as being able to read souls. And I went to confession with him, and I made a general confession of my entire life. I was already not living in mortal sin at that point, or at least not habitually. And I made a general confession of my entire life, and I realized just how much I've hurt people. So it's one thing when we make a general confession, all your sins are already forgiven, but it's not a bad practice to take a look at how many mortal sins or how many sins you've committed since your life began. Because we can go maybe a couple weeks, we're doing pretty well when we go to confession. We're not too bad, and you know, comparatively. But when you look at a lifetime of sin, and I was struck to the core at how much damage I had done through my bad example, through my sin, and I was so sorry, and I still am sorry to this day for any person that I've harmed through my bad example, through my own unfaithfulness. And so I was in tears again, true contrition, and the priest said, your penance is going to be very light, but if you truly want to make reparation for the sins that you've committed, to try for a year to pray all of the mysteries of the rosary for an entire year, and after you've done that, don't look back anymore. Say, Lord, I've given this all to you. Blessed Mother, bring good out of all the mistakes I've made. And after that, consider that enough reparation and move forward with your life. And in that year, because I had been praying multiple rosaries, just kind of like medication to stop committing sin, because I thought that was very, I found it very helpful. But it became like a rule of life where I'd pray one rosary in the morning, one rosary at noon, one rosary before I got home from work, one rosary at bedtime. And Our Lady in the life of Jesus Christ really took over. And that's when things dramatically and radically changed. And I began to start to reach out to other people, not just in my classroom, but on the internet as well.
Amazing. Yeah, when we get back, we're going to hear more about that. And I will just share right now that I actually heard Gabe speak on, I think it was the inaugural episode of the Catholic Drive Time with Joe McLean and Guadalupe Radio Network. I think Gabe was on there and he was talking about the rosary and talking about St. Louis de Montfort and saying, look, the children's rosary is one set of mysteries a day. We're talking about the full rosary every day. I had never heard that before. I'd never heard that proposed in that way before. Very simple, made a tremendous impact on me. Pretty much immediately. So praise be Jesus Christ for that and all the good work he's doing through Gabe Castillo. We're going to be right back with him. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Simple Truth. Jim Havens here. We are hearing some testimony today from Gabe Castillo. He is a coordinator of youth ministry and faith formation. You can find out more of his good work at truefaith.tv. Also his YouTube channel, Gabby After Hours. Yeah, so run forward into the apostolic work.
So shortly after I began to pray all the mysteries of the rosary is when my students began to say that they're struggling with things on the internet. Please put stuff for us to watch on the internet to keep us occupied. So I began to put things online that were other people's preaching. This was the early days, 2008, early days of YouTube. I began to put other people's preaching to pictures and different slides. And it wasn't until I left that teaching job, I wasn't asked to come back, but the pastor at the parish right next door, he said, hey, our vision aligns. He had heard of the amazing things that were happening in the school as far as conversions with my students. And he says, come here, and I want you to stir the pot over here. They might not like stirring the pot over there. Please, come over here. And I said, which direction do you want me to stir it? And he said, to the right, of course, as vigorously as possible. And I said, we're going to get along very well. And so while working here, I was invited to go to World Youth Day to work on some video production stuff. And this was in Spain, in Madrid, Spain. I think it was in 2011. And it was a mediocre experience. It was okay. But I felt a profound call one evening. It was Sunday night. I was off to Mass by myself. And it was the Church of St. Dominic. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know what I was walking into. But it was the Church of St. Dominic where St. Dominic was baptized. And after I had received Holy Communion, I was praying about my life, about my future. At that time, I did not think I could work in evangelization forever. It doesn't pay very well. It pays about the same as, you know, a private school teacher. And I just needed to figure out what my mission was. And so I was praying after Mass, and I felt the Lord tug me towards a statue. And I was looking at it, and all of a sudden, I felt an interior movement. I personally believe it was St. Dominic. Take it for a grain of salt. And I felt like he was saying to me, you are being called to promote the rosary. You must promote the rosary. You have tools at your disposal that I did not have during my lifetime. You must promote the rosary. This is your mission. And so I took it very seriously. I felt great consolation. I felt all of the things when you're discerning spirits about whether things are God's will or not. And I believe it was God's will. So I began to study the rosary because how can I promote something? How can I preach something if I did not understand it? So I began to study the rosary, the origins of the rosary, the theology of the rosary, the ingredients of the rosary. And it's gold. It is truly, truly gold. Our Lady being the perfect spouse of the Holy Spirit, when St. Dominic asked for a solution to the problems of the world that could convert hearts, that could reform sinners, Our Lady gave him that solution. She gave him the rosary, the angelic salutation, the Marian Psalter, as it was called when St. Dominic received it. And everything about it, I am thoroughly convinced that, because a lot of times we look at Our Lady, oh, this is a pious devotion. We look at the scapular, we look at the rosary. That's a pious devotion. Our Lady is not just piety. Our Lady is brilliance. She's wisdom. She's science. She's everything. And so if she's going to give us something, it's going to be perfect. And one of the biggest hang-ups that I had with the rosary, and I still have a difficulty with it, is that it's boring. It's boring. Objectively, it's boring. You're saying the same words over and over and over again. And on top of that, you're trying to think about the life of Jesus Christ. Are you crazy? That's too many things to do at once. But Our Lady is perfect. She's giving us a medicine that's meant to be boring, that's meant to reform the mind. It's meant to be repetitive because we live in a time where the majority of people that I am aware of are addicted to pornography. If they're not addicted to pornography, they're addicted to their cell phones, the dopamine hits that are constantly coming all day long. We're scrolling, we're clicking, we're looking at screens 24/7. Even when we don't have anything to look for, we're looking at our phone hoping that something pops up. And Our Lady knows what's best for us. And so I began to study the rosary. I began to study Marian theology, particularly the theology of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And Our Lady is truly the answer. I am so convinced of this that everything I do, I have a lot of videos on YouTube. I have teachings on the Eucharist. I have teachings on confession. But I look forward to, and I put those things in there as a means to diversify my content so that when the rosary comes across the screen, it can hit people harder and my YouTube channels are not just filled with everything rosary. I wish they could be. So I work in Mary and the rosary in every single possibility because I am convinced with every ounce of my body, of every fiber of my being, that the rosary truly is the solution. And that's why at every Marian apparition in modern time that's approved by the church, Our Lady says, the rosary, the rosary, the rosary. She's seen holding the rosary. At Lourdes, Our Lady appeared every single time with the rosary in her arm. When Our Lady would appear, it would only be when Saint Bernadette was praying the rosary. And as you mentioned, it's not just 5 decades. So when Our Lady gave the rosary to Saint Dominic, she said, "Dominic, preach my Psalter." The Psalter meaning the Psalms, because the priest would pray the Liturgy of the Hours throughout the day. So Our Lady was giving Saint Dominic a rule of life. All the saints who are canonized, 99% of them, prayed all the mysteries of the rosary after the time of Saint Dominic, which was 150 Hail Marys lining up with 150 Psalms. So it was, we call it Our Lady's Psalter, but it's meant to be a rule of life for the morning, for the day, for the evening, which walks us through the life of Jesus Christ, which reforms the mind, which crushes the head of the serpent, which calls down the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything about it is perfect, and it's I'm dedicating my life to promoting it. Every opportunity that I get, and every video that I make, Our Lady's on my mind 24/7. My desire, like Maximilian Kolbe, is to be Mary, to be another Mary, so that the Holy Spirit can work through her to bring Christ into the world. So that's my life mission. My every thought every day is, Mary, what is your will? What is your will? I'll do it. Let's do it. Because she's a winner. She wins. She never loses. She's Our Lady of Victory, always wins. Yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So good. So good. Yeah. Thank you so much. What a blessing to hear that. And that comes from a lot of faithful guesses that you've given over a long period of time that Our has Lady built you up where you can share that so eloquently now by God's grace. Speak to a little bit about the blessings that you've seen in the lives of others as you share the rosary with them. I know firsthand from just hearing you one time, it was extremely powerful for me. The Holy Spirit is in that. And you're working with a lot of young people. Share a bit of the fruits.
Yes, 100%. So the rosary is the answer to every single problem. If we had an audience with Our Lady and we were to say, Blessed Mother, I have ADD. Will you cure me of my ADD? Blessed Mother, my husband is abusive and he's addicted to alcohol. Blessed Mother, my son is a porn addict. Blessed Mother, my daughter is on heroin. If you were to have an audience with her, we can see from our example at Fatima, she would say, pray the rosary every single day. Get them to pray the rosary. In every case where I've seen somebody take up the rosary as a way of life, not just I'm going to pray 5 decades, but literally as a way of life, their lives radically reformed. I've had students who were on, you know, smoking marijuana since the 7th grade. Life radically reformed. One of my dearest and best friends was using drugs recreationally, regularly, daily, living in grave mortal sin, committing all sorts of licentious acts, and life totally reformed, not going back. 100% the Virgin Mary. It is the game changer. It is the game changer. A lot of times people don't know how to pray it well. And they will, when I say pray all the mysteries every day, they'll say, do I have to pray the Apostles' Creed 4 times then? No, you just pray that once because this was intended to be a long prayer. Now, I don't want people to feel bad if they're like, I struggle with one. You will find that it's easier to try and pray 4 than it is to just pray 1. And the graces that I have noticed are unbelievable. I cannot live without praying the entire rosary. I would die. I would ruin my own life. But with the rosary, I tell you, I've seen so many conversions. I've seen so many spiritual healings. I've seen healings of drug addiction. I myself used to be addicted to Adderall. I was on amphetamines, prescribed amphetamines, since I was in the 2nd grade, and I took them until I was 32 years old, and I had a severe addiction to them. And now these are my pills. I take these 4 times a day at least. And I'm very productive. Any negative effects that I know of from having attention deficit disorder since a little kid have been all but removed. I cannot promote it enough.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it is all real, guys. I hope you are picking up on the reality of the kingdom of God, right? Jesus is real. He has come to us. He has instituted his Catholic Church for us, the magisterial teachings that transmit the truth to us even 2,000 years later, so we can have it rock solid for us to live and to put our faith in and to strive to grow in the virtues that are before us, to live the way he's calling us to live, and Our Lady, the gift of Our Lady, the gift of our rosary, to change our hearts, to become more like hers, to perfectly love Jesus as much as we possibly can, We're going to be back more with Gabriel Castillo right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Simple Truth. We are talking with Gabriel Castillo today. Gabe is sharing some of his testimony with us. You can find more about his good work at truefaith.tv. Also, the YouTube channel, Gabby After Hours. That's G-A-B-I After Hours. I want to give you a free rein here in this final segment, but I do want to just sneak in one last question, and that is, and the more we grow in intimacy and closeness to Our Lady Mary, the more she's going to bring us closer into intimacy with our Lord Jesus, specifically in the Blessed Sacrament. How has she led you deeper into the Eucharistic heart of our Lord Jesus?
We're on the same wavelength, because that was the next and most important thing that we needed to discuss. So a lot of people are afraid, and it's a fear that it's not based in truth. Is focusing too much on Mary going to take me away from Jesus? Can I love Mary too much? The idea that you can love Mary too much is a lie that comes from the devil. It is impossible to love Mary too much. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is love itself, loved Mary and gave himself to Mary first and foremost as our model. So by me and by you giving your life over totally to Mary, it makes you more like Jesus Christ. The greatest saints gave themselves over totally to Mary. And I'm not talking, yes, it's true, St. Alphonsus, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. John Paul II. Yes, I mean that. But St. Joseph. St. Joseph loved Our Lady more than we can ever imagine. He gave himself totally over to Mary. He was the first one to say totus tuus besides our Lord. And did he love her too much? Did it take away from his relationship with Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. St. John the Beloved gave himself totally to the Virgin Mary and to her service. Our Lady's role at the Annunciation was to bring Christ into the world, and she continues to do that. Her only desire is to make you love Jesus Christ more and more. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord," and Our Lady will magnify Jesus Christ in your life. So in front of the Blessed Sacrament, as Jim just mentioned, when you're before our Lord in the Eucharist, when you're in line for Holy Communion, you say, "Blessed Mother, help me to see Jesus with your eyes." Because we have to remember Our Lady is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. When Our Lady prays on our behalf, it's impossible for the spouse of Our Lady, the Holy Spirit, to deny her. So when Our Lady spoke to St. Elizabeth, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Our Lady, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. The child in her womb was sanctified because Our Lady and the Holy Spirit are so perfectly united. So when I'm before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, I can hear his voice clearer because Mary is praying for me. When I'm going to Holy Communion, Our Lady, if I say, "Blessed Mother, receive Jesus in me. Help me to receive him worthily." I can try to receive him worthily. Yeah, I try my best. But when I ask Our Lady, I receive him more worthily than if I'm giving 100% efforts in both circumstances. When I call upon Our Lady, because grace perfects nature and God has willed that she be the mediatrix of all grace, I will receive Holy Communion more worthily than my twin who does not invoke the holy name of Mary. So we have to remember two important aspects of Our Lady's role. She's the mediatrix of all grace. That means God, whose grace, who's a gift for our salvation, comes to us through Mary. If I'm going to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, where did the Eucharist come from? The Eucharist came to us. It's Jesus, but he came to us through Mary. So the grace to receive Holy Communion worthily, the grace to see our Lord's face really present in the Most Holy Eucharist, the grace of the conversion of my children, that grace is God, the gift of God for our salvation, but it comes to us through the Virgin Mary. St. Bernardine famously said, "Our Lady gives what she wills, to whom she wills, as often as she wills, as much as she wills." So Our Lady will make everything better. And because she's a mediatrix of all grace, we have an assurance that she's present with us. I don't know how, but I can assure you she's present with us because I don't know how heaven works exactly. But if she's a mediatrix of all grace, and our theology teaches us that God gives us grace at every single second, that means Our Lady is watching you to see what you need at every single second. We have to ask ourselves, do we really believe that the Virgin Mary is our mother? Because theologically, Our Lady loves us more than any mother really could. So if my own mother wants what's best for me, if I was an infant, my own mother, if she's good, she's going to keep an eye out for when I'm crying. And if you multiply the love of a single mother times 1,000, that doesn't even come into comparison with how much Our Lady loves us as her children. So we can be assured Our Lady, who's 1,001, 1,001,000 more in love with us than all the mothers of the world combined, is watching us, is present to us at every single second. She's ready to wipe away every tear. But one, we have to call upon her. Two, we have to be confident in her intercession. And we have to have a sense that she's present and that she loves us. St. Maximilian Kolbe was very famous in saying, to do the will of the Immaculata is the greatest thing that you can do. So yes, we're doing God's will, but God has willed that Mary do it sweeter, better, in a more beautiful, in a more perfect manner. So when we try to do, yes, we're always trying to do God's will, but when we try to do Mary's will, we are assured of her assistance, we're assured of the Holy Spirit, we're assured of the assistance of God the Father, who loves Mary so much, we're assured of the assistance of Jesus Christ, who loves his mother so much, we're assured of the assistance of the spouse, the Holy Spirit. There's nothing greater that we can do except be Mary for the world, and to try to do her will. And it doesn't necessitate pushing buttons in ourselves. We simply need to say, Mary, what is your will? And your conscience, and again, her will is God's will, except better. Her conscience will say, love your children. And when you do it because it's her will, you have the assurance that she will assist you, that you will do it better, that you're going to receive more grace, that you're going to have the assistance and the assurance of the Holy Spirit. And very importantly, that the devil will be crushed, because it is part of her charism to crush the head of the serpent. So I don't want anybody, there's no need for a child of God, a child of the Virgin Mary, to ever fear. If we're afraid, if we're worried, we only need to be humble and examine, what is my confidence in Our Lady like right now? Because Our Lady was sent to the world, because I'm very fond of saying, and many people are, it only took 12 apostles to convert the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. True. But it only took one Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that made it possible for there even to be apostles. So confidence in Our Lady, critically important. Jim, do you have any other thoughts? Anything else come to mind that you'd like me to touch upon?
Outstanding. Yeah, no, I just want to invite you to share any last thoughts, anything that, any final encouragement to the listeners today.
Yes. The very first thing you should do, the very first step in being Marian, is to wake up in the morning. The very first thought out of your mind should be Mary. Blessed Mother, be with me. Help me to be here. And you might say, why isn't it Jesus? Again, you are becoming, you're going to Mary because of Jesus. It makes you like Jesus. And your desire is to be, well, I want to be like Mary. Why does Gabe say he wants to be like Mary? Because who's the perfect disciple? Our Lady. So we go to Mary because of Jesus, and we want to become like Mary for Jesus. And that first begins, the first thing in the morning, every morning, you say the morning offering. If you don't know the words, just make up your own morning offering and say, Blessed Mother, I give you this day. And then the most important thing you say after that is, what do you want for me? What do you want for me? St. Alphonsus says, if you're trying to do the will of God, you need grace in order to do it. So even to just ask the question and then follow through with God's will, you got to pray the rosary. So the rosary again, if you forget everything I said today, pray the rosary. And that's Our Lady's message, and it's her message, because with the rosary, all good things come. Confession will come, adoration will come, conversion will come. And ideally, of course, you get your family and friends to pray it. But even if you can't, I can assure you, if you start to pray, especially the entire rosary as it was originally intended, and you're the only faithful person in your house, your household will be changed. It would be an insult to the Virgin Mary and an insult to the Holy Spirit for grace not to flow into that home.
So good. Yeah, thank you so much for being here with us today, Gabriel. Awesome.
It's an honor. It's an honor. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Awesome. Yes, everybody, check out his good work. I know you're going to want to after hearing him. TrueFaith.tv.
I interrupt this conclusion to bring you a very important announcement. Hit that subscription button. Why? Because I'm working on some high-quality productions and some beautiful testimonies that you are not going to want to miss.
Because I couldn't go to confession yet because I'm an RCIA. I was like...
So the first person that we're going to meet is Jessica. I met Jessica 2 weeks before she went to college. Jessica, say hello.
Hello.